Croeso, welcome to Tales for Wales, the podcast that will be given only about 50% of your attention, my attention this week, because I'm currently watching the Wales game because I had to sell my ticket to my love of this podcast, and I got so much on at the moment that I actually can't. I can't do everything, and I have to put this podcast before my own fucking enjoyment. So you might notice that the kickoff's just started now. I had to sell my ticket to my mate, and I can't do anything. I'm watching. It's about to start, Jack.
You're looking about to start. Are you looking all cross-eyed? Where you got one eye on the fucking pot and one eye just over on the. Well, or actually, knowing you, probably you both eyes on the ear, and when I'll be talking to you, and you'll be going, yeah.
No, because I am gonna. Carried away. I've got so much going on at the moment, and like I said to you, I've out of 9 days, I had one day where I wasn't doing anything. So after work, so it's all stressful. And tonight we're doing 3 episodes back to back because I'm really busy. Happens to be when Wales are one of the biggest matches for us. If we win, we're through to the Euros. But I just had to do it, and I didn't want to go down the stadium and get really smashed. Blah blah blah. Reasons aside, here I am. I'm staying in, but it means the game's on in the background. But I think it's going to be quite a cagey game and not too much action because people are both going to be quite scared. So you're fine. And I'm doing the second episode. Yeah. And
so many caveats. You're fine. Honestly, I am really paying attention. Like I would 100% rather be here than at the game, right? So just take that to the bank.
So you just might just hear me every so often shouting and screaming. And there's a guy on telly right now who's crying already. It's so funny. It is so funny when you just see like some grown men in their bucket hats crying. I fucking love it.
Love
it.
Shit, don't
you? How about that anyway? That was a bit of a ramble to begin with.
Sorry, mate, you caveat on it. I like it, you know. Showing some responsibility, taking ownership.
Yeah.
Later on, when I go, so what do you think of Penguin? And you're like, what?
Well, that's the thing. We either didn't do tonight and we'd have been behind, and we're a bit behind anyway, and we would probably have to put some episodes back. Or we get me watching a bit of football and doing a podcast, which is like should be pub atmosphere. We always say we try and recreate
exactly.
We?
It's like so. We're there. Because we did the classic thing, and we've been like ahead like 3 episodes for basically ages, all the year so far.
Yeah.
And we in classic fashion, we squandered it one time because we were like, well, kick it for one. Another
that famous
kick it another
turtle
week.
And hare. We got fucked by a turtle, is it? Tortoise. We got fucked by something we didn't even know what it was.
Yeah. And now we're finally going, we need to right the ship before it capsizes on us.
So yeah, we're gonna honk out 3 stinkers in one go tonight, and then I haven't written an episode in ages, because we did the Dr. Cymraeg one, and then we did the road trip one, and then you did the gods one. I've not written one in a month, so it was really fun to get back into it today. Did you feel the same?
I was thinking because like we have we've done the thing where we're 3 weeks ahead and we've just left it 3 weeks. Mm. It feels like we haven't done a proper episode in ages. I think we did like a lunchtime one the other day, didn't we?
Yeah,
the road trip one. But the lunchtime ones, they're great for like getting one in, but they're not like I don't count as a full pod record because we don't sit down with a bev or anything, do we?
Yeah. And what is your bev of choice tonight?
I'm on the Kalschbrug. Kalschbrug Pilsner.
Oh, me. I'm on the combo. Kalschner. I'm on Carlsberg and I'm on a Carlin.
Oh, the two C's, the big C's.
Mm. Ah, delicious. You got any gales to anecdote us with? No, for fuck's sake, anecdotes to regale us with. I'm being quite formulaic because I can't try and do any segues today because I'm also so nervous about this match. So.
Yeah. I cannot do riffs tonight. It's not.
We haven't caught up in ages, have we?
I don't think so. No, it's been a while. Mm. We were meant to catch up with the other half, the old ball and chains.
Yeah, the old ball and chains.
The other day. But we ended up not doing that. You two were sick doggies, weren't you?
Yeah, but I think everyone I know has been like pretty ill recently. And
loads of people.
Yeah, but it's do you know what, like you do have plans and all this stuff, but then when you're both poorly and you both go, oh, well, should we just stay home and both just get like a Domino's? Mm. Even though you feel like shit, there's something like glorious about like calling sick to work when you're actually sick and like just being allowed to do nothing because you're not well. It's class. What I'm saying is I want to be like, I want to have some kind of horrific disease where I no longer have to work again.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
I'm so done with work. We keep doing the lottery at the moment because I can't see my life working.
Spending every bean you have on the lottery, just that vain hope. Yeah. I actually have got. I remember my mortgage advisor when I first got my flat. You know, I used to have a flat down in Cardiff. He talked me into. It didn't take a lot. He talked me into getting like this. It's insurance where if you can't work anymore for whatever reason, just the insurance will pay out for like your living costs.
Yeah.
And it's all he said. All he needed to say was like. I think you said something like, and then if you, if you have some sort of debilitating disease or something like that, you never have to work again. That first part just like fucking was white noise. Yeah. I didn't hear any of that. I just said, you'll never have to work again. And yeah. I was like, how much a month? Go on then. I'll do that.
Me and you hate having to do things, don't we? It's just surprising we haven't bothered starting a podcast.
I know. It's like, luckily the pod hasn't fallen victim to that same thing, where it's like, if you have to do something, it's no longer fun anymore, is it? But I think it's because it is such a laugh when we do it.
I mean, it'd be hard for us to be like, I have to get drunk and talk about my country.
Mate, we're getting pissed. Rubbish. Can't I do a classic 9-to-5 in an office, for fuck's sake?
I was going to say, have you finished your weekly anecdote?
Oh, go on, you go ahead. I can circle back if need be.
Oh, I was just going to say that. Talk about, like, morbidity and being ill. It reminded me, I think I told you, but I got a sponsored post for if you're on Instagram or Facebook, or whatever, you get sponsored posts, like adverts, based on kind of what your characteristics are and like what you're. If I wanted to, when we do adverts for Tales of Wales, you might have seen it because you have an interest in Welsh history and you search for stuff or you interact with stuff that is Welsh history based. I got a fucking tailored advert for sumo wrestling and to become a sumo wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
I was so hungover. I was so fucking like, what a way to knock your confidence. And I literally text Emma, my partner. I was like, we're going on a diet. We are not having this. It was so upsetting. My algorithm doesn't think I'm going to be a football player, not even a rugby player. So you're going to be a sumo star.
Meta's AI has fucking assessed your lifestyle and gone, this is the most appropriate advert to send him.
So
I was telling, this is actually relevant to something that's been going on with me lately as well. I was telling Amy about it the other day, right? Something popped up. I was just scrolling through Instagram. You know, when you sit down, you have a couple of scrolls through the reels and you find like, I don't know, half an hour's gone.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I was just scrolling. And this one thing happened, right? And it was a woman was there and she just full on pulled a tit out. Right, to do like breastfeeding. And I was like, what's this? But I went, hang on a minute. And I looked and I was looking and the baby's fake. The baby's completely fake. It's like a doll. And I was like, the baby's a doll. And then I was like, and I was like looking at the comments and stuff, and it was like, and like the caption and everything like that. And it was like saying, oh, it's educational. That's why I'm allowed to get the tit out, sort of thing. And I was like,
stop saying tit. I was like, what's going on here?
I know, but I was like,
is it like an OnlyFans thing to get past the?
Exactly that. I was like, the red lines on the wall, you know, like sort of fathoming out the thing. I finally got to it, and it was like, I went to a profile, and then it was like, check out my OnlyFans.
Yeah, the old spicy jalapeno thing. They always put next to it. They always put like a chili next to it.
Yeah, a little chili, little firecracker, and so they've circumvented like the kind of algorithm that censors this stuff.
Do you want to know? Right?
But because I spent so long looking at it again and again and again and clicking all the links and shit like that, right? I get so many of those in my feed now. You know, you click the search bar.
Well, I was going to say,
sponsors, I get so fucking many of them.
If you go to, if you go to your For You page or your search, so where you put the magnifying glass, it gives you like a collage of like say 20 videos. Based on your algorithm. So my top four here is like that Bobby guy, that Chinese or that like Korean guy called Bobby, he's eating a hot dog, Bob Mortimer, some UFC, some food cooking and all that stuff. But my friend in work, because I said that is the most like telling page to see what you go on to, and they say it like as a partner test. So if you're with your partner, you should give them your phone and say, look at my For You page and see what I've been looking at. And we went on his, and it was just tit central. Every tit single everywhere. Post was just like, well, some OnlyFans.
I've had to
girl.
Make a conscious effort lately to click on anything that's non-tick based on it to like try and get right the ship of the algorithm.
This,
you know?
Sounds like,
so now for example, I've got a couple of like nerdy bloody, I got some nerdy comic-y stuff, I got some film stuff, I got loads of clips of Helldivers because I'm obsessed with watching them, even though I haven't played it yet. And then I've got the odd like fucking clearly like an OnlyFans model.
I think they just pushed that through because we're guys, at least that's what I hope.
Yeah, you fit the demographic.
Yeah. It's really telling if you ever want to guess what someone's up to online. Just ask them, can I have a look at your For You page? I also get a lot of that guy.
That
who
wouldn't
goes,
be accurate. A couple of weeks ago, like, you, think, like you love watching girls. They'd be like, you love watching girls breastfeed fucking dolls. And it's like, I don't. I was looking at one very astutely one
you
time to figure out what was going on.
Too much, it feels.
Oh yeah, it's just.
No matter if you start denying anything, exactly, you just sound like a creep. Then don't you? Yeah. All right.
I love the breastfeeding dolls. All right, you caught me.
Should we give out our producer creds and our plug for the Patreon?
Yes. So the producer cred, who are we on now? We're on a gentleman, a member of the Taily, called Owain.
Owain.
Ashley Jones. Owain Ashley Jones.
Do you have Owain?
Owain Ashley Jones.
OAG.
I can't think of something. OAG? OAJ.
OAG. Oh, fuck's sake.
Fucking hell. We fucked it.
What can we give? Let's band. So
I was thinking,
hang on. Double barrel. More like double carol. No, we've got to edit this. This is shit. This
away. Hang on. If you get old enough to get a bus pass, you're an OAP.
Yeah.
If you're old enough to listen to Tales for Wales, you're an OAJ, baby.
Okay, thank God you saved it. I don't know why it was.
I mean, that was a fucking low save as well.
That's garbage, isn't it?
Owain.
Yeah. Owain Ashley Jones does sound a bit like he could be from medieval Wales as well. He could be one of our. Oh, I think that's just because his name's Owain. Yeah. Owain, dude. That's how sick my brain's gone tonight.
You sound like you're one of the princes of Wales, mate.
Yeah, what are you from? Medieval Wales, you mate? Yeah, Owain Ashley Jones, yeah.
So like you're what are you? You named after a pub in Cardiff or something? Prince of Wales? Owain Ashley Jones, that.
I don't know why I think we've mined all we can out of this.
I don't know why we always try and riff on the name, but I think
because we did it with the first one, didn't we? And we were like, we've somehow got to keep that up for everybody. Yeah. Sorry, Owain, this is the best you get, mate. That's what you get for your tenner a month.
Yeah, and also this is a call out. Maybe this is more admin for us, but we've sent an email to all of our Patreon members, and some people haven't responded yet. So can you come back to us so we can do your episodes, please? Thank you.
Yes, because there's a few of you now who are definitely do your artwork, and you're coming up, I'm pretty sure, to your hometown episode. Yeah. So get back to the little emails and DMs we sent you.
Because otherwise,
like
just
if
giving
you
us
them.
Your kind money.
I mean, we're happy with that, but also we were more than willing to do the work. So,
contractually
if you fancy
obligated.
It, get back to us. Yeah, you can take us to court for this.
Yeah. And Owain Ashley Jones sounds like a lawyer. He works for. Mm. No, you know, like in law firms in America, they're called like Beavis and Jones, and like there's about five names in one.
Beavis, yeah. Beavis, Owain, Ashley, and Jones and Co. Yeah.
Why did I go to Beavis? It's not anything.
Beavis. You're stuck in the 90s, Beavis and Butthead. I don't know why I bring that. Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Oh, this is a ramble. Should we, do you want to start us off with what we're going to be into today?
Yeah, sure. All right, then. So.
Sound less.
I know. Yeah, fucking up. I have to. Yeah, go on then. Fine.
It is nice just catching up, isn't it? We haven't caught up in ages.
It is. It's bloody lovely. Yeah. Ooh. We, This one actually is quite interesting, believe it or not. What's wrong with us? Not my tone.
I swear, like the last 4 episodes, we've just gone like we've fallen apart.
We've lost our mojo, baby. We've absolutely had it taken.
Yeah, baby. Also, if you like a bit of Austin Powers chat, the episode I'm doing next is Austin heavy. So I think,
oh, please.
Yeah, that's a bit of a teaser for you.
So, right, back to mine. I'll try and inject a bit of enthusiasm into this. So, today,
is it boring
I'm talking about. No, as in, like, because I've just been very flaccid with my tone recently, yeah. I haven't been fucking hard as nails, but, yeah.
So, do you know what I hate the word? I hate the word bricked up. Do you know when people say, oh, he's bricked up?
Bricked up, does that mean you, like, can't have a shit or something?
No, it's like when
bricked
you got
up.
Yeah, when you got like a...
Oh, that doesn't even make sense.
What we would call it, a stiffy, then people would say, oh, I'm bricked up.
Makes sense to me, it's stiff. But bricked up...
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it?
Bricked up sounds like... That's what I'd be like, oh, I'm constipated, I'm bricked up. That would make more sense to me.
I've got the fucking shits, mate, I'm bricked right up. Oh, bastard. Right, bricked up.
No, I agree. Yeah. I don't like bricked up either denote a boner.
Get in touch.
That's
what don't
good.
You like?
What euphemism for a boner are you not happy with?
I think stiffy is funny.
Stiffy is funny. That's great. Yeah. Boner is eternal. You can't get rid of boner. That's just a funny name.
Yeah. What do you call yours?
Right, well, this
long slimpin'. Do you call it a long slimpin'?
Long slimpin'. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I think if someone just did like a long ball then down the wing, it's just kind of.
I like lob on.
Lob on is quite good, isn't it? Yeah, we say 6 o'clocker, don't we, or 12 o'clocker?
Oh, we do. Yeah,
six o'clocker.
That's
if it's
like
yeah.
That's steeped in like personal law, though, isn't it? You know, like that goes back years with us.
We got a 6 o'clocker when you half enjoy something, but then we turn that to being the full clocker. Anyway, let's hear your boring story about
layers.
Some boring Welsh thing, mate.
Yeah, contrary to what you might think, this isn't about boners this episode. So this is actually about a little place called Penguin, or Penguern. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, but I'm going to go with Penguin. And it is a... proposed Lost Kingdom of Wales. Ooh.
Does that mean lost as in like Cantre
Gwaelod?
Lost
to the annals of history, mate. No, not like Cantre Gwaelod is considered folklore, isn't it? But also there's some evidence that there might have been a village or a town a little bit further out to the coast than what is now. This is as in
or something like that.
Like a kingdom that's kind of been somewhat erased from the history books. And so it's not really widely known. So before I get into it, though, I'd like to thank there's a YouTube channel called the Cambrian Chronicles. They're very good. I got a lot of the info I'm about to spout at you on this from them.
I think we should do that more often.
They were really good, man, and they got tons of videos that are really good. Check them out if you like, especially if you like Welsh history. They got loads of like Welsh-centric content on their channel. It's really, really good. But yeah, I got a lot of this stuff from here. So if you've been listening to us for a while now, you might already know this, but for any newcomers who don't, Wales has historically been divided into 4 main kingdoms. This began way back when with the Celts and things like that. And then those were like more loosely defined tribal territories. But if you fast forward a few hundred years, sort of by the medieval period, early medieval period, you can comfortably say that Wales was made up of essentially 4 major kingdoms. These kingdoms were Gwynedd, Powys, Morgannwg, and Deheubarth. Often these would include smaller kingdoms as well, like Ceredigion, Seisyllwg, Brycheiniog, Meirionnydd, etc. But Gwynedd, Powys, Morgannwg, and Deheubarth were kind of like the overarching kingdoms. Any sort of big-time Welsh hero you hear of, you know, Llywelyn Ap Gruffydd, Owain Glyndŵr, whatever, they're all descended from kings of these great sort of these kingdoms. Or dynasties, I think they're also called as well. But what if I were to tell you, dear Franco, to set fire to the history books, I'm about to reach into your brain and just scramble everything around, and all the things you know about history are going to be fucked up for forevermore, because there was quite possibly a missing kingdom And at this point, I want to insert the Samuel L. Jackson, hold on to your butts quote, because it's about to get fucking bumpier, right?
Okay. Hold on to your butts.
So, the earliest mention we have of the Kingdom of Penguin was actually from a late 7th century Welsh poem. The second mention we ever hear of it is from another poem from around the 9th century, as far as historians can tell. And these are the only two mentions of this kingdom until Gerald of Wales, or Geralt of Cymru.
We know all Geralt of Cymru.
We do all Geralt. Gerald of Wales, or Geralt Cymru in Welsh, he brought it up again in the 12th century in what was essentially his kind of travel diary when he visited Wales, called the Itinerarium Cambriae. I think I've said that right. Itinerarium Cambriae, yeah. We'll go with that. Gerald, or Geralt, he tells us in his book about the three ancient capitals of Wales, two of which were already known, Aberfraw in Gwynedd and Dinevor in Deheubarth.
But he mentions like the third, a very famous one for having like great kings from there. We've discussed that.
That's
Aberfraw.
Right, yeah. Exactly, yeah. The third that he notes, though, is Penguin, and he states that it was the ancient capital of Powys, which he placed where modern-day Shrewsbury would now be. So, yeah, when historians look back and then sort of uncovered Gerald of Wales's writings about Penguin, this did spark a huge amount of interest at the time. And they were struggling, really, to find what they surmised was a kingdom that had been somewhat erased from the history books. It didn't seem to be present in a lot of old Welsh writings. So historians have looked at the poems I mentioned earlier from the 7th and 9th century. They seem to somewhat corroborate Gerald's position of Penguin, placing the kingdom in modern-day Shropshire somewhere, with mentions of towns such as Lichfield and Baschurch being nearby, as well as the River Tern. For a long time, English historians thought that the mention of Penguin in these Welsh poems was actually referencing an area that still exists in Shrewsbury to this day. There's a street named after Penguin, a rowing club and a bookshop, and the English historians thought that this was just a relic of an old Brythonic Celtic name that had survived into modernity. But there's one big thing that doesn't quite fit, and that's the name Penguin itself. So just for some background, the word in Welsh can be separated into two words, pen meaning a hill or a peak in the case of a place name, and gwern, which can either mean a grove or a swan. Welsh loves to be tricky and mean more than one thing, especially sort of old Welsh, but in either case, neither of these descriptions really fit Shrewsbury. There's also the fact that Shrewsbury already has a name in Welsh, which isn't Penguin, it's Amwythig. And the Welsh have called it a Moethig since back in the 9th century. So at the same time, one of those poems was written. So if they were referencing Shrewsbury, they would have used a Moethig, not Penguin.
I went to Shrewsbury, you see things, and Hereford, and that area, like Rhos-on-Wye, Hereford and Shrewsbury. And it's crazy how much Welsh names there are there.
And like, oh yeah, Shrewsbury is a really nice like town. It's great, or city, I suppose, now, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I really like Shrewsbury.
I love it. I love Hereford. We're going to move that way, like on the border towns. But they used to use like Welsh law and stuff back when we had Hawthorne's laws and things. Because it was like it would change hands a lot. But also Welsh laws were sometimes more favourable to like common people. Lots of people in the border towns would opt to have their trials under Welsh law.
And we should maybe do an episode on the kind of the marshlands and kind of the borderlands.
We are a Welsh podcast, so only a Welsh podcast. We don't. I will die. Death to Hounslow. Death to Ealing.
Not on my watch.
Have you ever seen that that sketch from Matt Lucas where he goes like? He says, we're from Hounslow, and I just want Hounslow to be for the Hounslowsian. Death to Richmond! Death to Ealing! It's so good. I think we should put it in here if we can. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
I was born in Hounslow, and my children were born in Hounslow. My grandchildren will be born in Hounslow. Yeah, I would do anything for the London Borough of Hounslow. I'm Hounslow till I die. Yeah, I mean, Hounslow for the Hounslowsians! Yeah, Hounslow means Hounslow. Death to Ealing. Death to Hillingdon.
The only ones I remember from, the really old stuff he did when he's going like, peanuts.
Yeah. Well, peanuts. Matt Lucas was like my hero when I was younger. When I was shooting stars, he was fucking amazing. And he's gone a bit shit nowadays, yeah. But he was so good on there.
Can't take away the greats, though, can you? No. There we go.
Can't take that away from us, mate.
Can't take away. Death dealing, yeah. As I was saying, as I just mentioned then, these like little bits that don't quite fit into place, that Shrewsbury was where Penguin resided. So I'm going to rewind a bit and talk more about the 7th century poem I mentioned at the start. This poem is called Marwnaf Cynddylan, or Cynddylan's Elegy in English, and it covers the exploits of the only named king of Penguin, Cynddylan ap Cynddrwyn. The poem claims that Cynddylan's deeds were known as far as Ynys Môn, or Anglesey, with one of his deeds getting a particular mention, an occasion where the king led a raid on a monastery in Lichfield, or Caer Llwytgoed in Welsh, roughly translated as City of the Grey Woods. Just as an aside, I do love how when you translate the Welsh names back into English, they sound like so fantasy-esque, you know, like something out of Game of Thrones or something. City of the Grey Woods. It sounds like fucking... It conjures a lot of good imagery, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was just an aside, sorry. So Cynddylan and his son Morvael, they supposedly attacked the monastery in Lichfield and killed someone referenced as the son of Pede, making off with a lot of treasure from the monastery as well.
I hope his surname isn't Doe.
No, I did sort of think that's quite good. Just wait a second and you might have another chance at a joke of that vein. but while this didn't narrow down exactly where Penguin might have been, it did give historians a sort of time frame of when it might have existed. So it's clear from the poem that Cynddylan was attacking a Christian establishment in what would have been the Anglo-Saxon kingdom of Mercia, which was pagan until 655, meaning the raid couldn't have happened before then because they'd attached a Christian settlement. To further back this up, the king of Mercia in 655 was a guy named Peder.
Yeah.
Very close to King Peder.
I love how you waited there.
Yeah, I was thinking he's got to say that. Hey, hey, remember what I said earlier? Yeah.
Surname file. So,
yeah. So the king of Mercia in 655 was a guy named Peder, which we can surmise in the Welsh version of his name would have been Pede, P-Y-D. So that links directly to when they said the son of Pede who was killed in the raid. So they think the son of Pede would have been a reference to the Mercian king at the time, Pede or Peder, which would have been in the Anglo-Saxon time. Peder only ruled for 1 year on the Mercian throne before his lands were annexed by the Northumbrians. Meaning if all this lined up as we think it did, this raid must have been sometime between 655 and 666, the number of the beast. To sum up, I'm going to do a lot of summaries in this, right, because I'm throwing a lot of information. But to sum up so far, so we know Penguin was somewhere around Shropshire, probably not Shrewsbury, but maybe somewhere nearby, and that it existed during potentially the 1 year of the Mercian King Peder's rule. And we know that Gerald mentions in his works that Penguin had a royal court and that it was not just a city, according to him, but a smaller kingdom, considered the capital of Powys. Now, to give an idea of what was happening in East Wales / West England at the time, in the decades leading up to Peder's stint as King of Mercia, there was actually a few Welsh monarchs active in the area as well. So there was King Caerwallon of Gwynedd. He'd formed an alliance with King Pender of Mercia to fight against the Kingdom of Northumbria, who had been encroaching on Mercian territory, and had even killed the previous King of Gwynedd in 616 at the Battle of Chester. So this provided the Mercians and the Welsh an opportunity to ally and fight the Northumbrians, kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
I know, deal, like, life is tough now, and, like, you know, the world is pretty bad. Mm. But, like, you forget how far we've come. Like, the UK alone used to have, like, every single person going to war.
Yeah.
It's like right now, if I went, oh, I'm just going to go to war with Hereford, or, like if you're from, like, Wrexham, yeah, oh, I'm just going to go to war with Newcastle for a while.
And if I had a beef with you again, you know, from someone in Hereford, you'd go, do you want to go fucking raise Hereford to the ground with me? Go, yeah, go on then.
Fancy murdering, pillaging and raping till they're all dead in the ground? Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, and then maybe a couple of years later after we all go, you know what? Yeah. I don't actually like you anymore either. I'm going to fucking have a go at you as well.
And like slavery is rife. I'm fully aware things are still bad, but sometimes you do realise we're probably better off than, you know.
Yeah,
we are getting better.
The Wilderness is very grim, but you know, it's one of those things when you look back and you see those things where, like, we're actually at the most peaceful time in, like, the Earth's history or something.
Yeah.
Madness.
Yeah. Madness.
Right. Madness, I say. Where was I? Sorry. Yeah. So this eventually led to the King of Northumbria, a guy called King Edwin. He was killed at the Battle of Hatfield in 633. Carwallon and Penda supposedly ravaged his kingdom then of Northumbria after their victory. And a monk was, he wrote down some bits about it, and his name was Bede, a monk called Bede, Anal Bede. Was stated that he was certain. Yeah, thank you. He stated that he was certain Carwallon had such a venom for the English that he would destroy all of them. So, but this would be far from the truth, because Carwallon was actually killed by the succeeding Northumbrian king, King Oswald, at the Battle of Heavenfield. Oswald then pushed the remaining Mercian forces all the way back south, all the way to Shropshire. On the back foot, the Mercian king actually saw another Welsh ally to help him against the Northumbrians, which were encroaching on his position, which is where our boy Cynddelan comes back into the mix. The other poem I mentioned, the one from the 9th century, called Canny Heledd, or Song of Heledd, that poem mentions that King Cynddelan fought a battle alongside a Mercian king at a place called Maes Cogwy in 642. He did this because he considered the Northumbrians a larger threat to his Welsh kingdom than the Mercians that were next door. At this battle, a Northumbrian king was once again slain. There's also mention that Cynddelan may have had a personal stake in the fight against Northumbria. As mentioned before, the Northumbrians had previously killed a king of Gwynedd at the Battle of Chester. The Welsh Triads, which are a group of medieval manuscripts covering history, mythology, and folklore. Yeah, not the Japanese gangsters, I don't think. These bits of manuscripts and writings and whatnot, they cover some history, mythology, and folklore that span quite a few centuries in Wales. They say that the three warriors that led the last defence of Chester at this battle were three men named Gugon Gleddyfrydd, Madog ap Rhun, and Gwion ap Cyndrwyn, a.k.a. Cynddelan's brother. So that's why, that's another thing that leads us to believe that's why Cynddelan would ally himself with Mercia to beat back the Northumbrians, because he had a bit of a personal stake in it. It's worth mentioning as well, Canny Heledd, or Song of Heledd, is written by apparently Cynddelan's sister, who, you guessed it, is called Heledd. And the poem also mentions that after the battle at Maes Cogwy, Penguin will once again find itself in conflict with its Anglo-Saxon neighbours. And in her poem, Heledd states that it was her, and I quote, her tongue that brought disasters to Penguin. So we don't know, because a lot of the poem is actually destroyed or has not been copied correctly. So we don't know exactly what these disasters were, apart from the last one, where we're told that Cynddelan and his two brothers marched to defend a town along the River Tern against what the poem describes as Lloegrin, an old Welsh term for people across the border, and was kind of a catch-all term for the people who lived in what would become England. For those who don't know, England in Welsh is Lloegr, as well, which makes sense. But I did sort of wonder why we call the land Lloegr and the people, the English, Saeson or Saesneg. Mm. So I looked it up, and apparently it's because we used to say Lloegr to mean essentially anyone in South England.
Yeah.
Where the Romans were most prevalent when they first came over. And then we changed to Saeson and Saesneg. That came into it when the Saxons came over, which you can kind of make sense.
Yeah.
But apparently we just kept calling England after a while Lloegr, instead of changing that to something like, you know, Land of the Sice or something like that. Yeah. But anyway, Heledd says in a poem that the Lloegrin laid waste to the town, killing Cynddelan and his brothers, forcing her and her maidens to flee to the hills. From these hills, they saw the palace of Penguin in flames. Once night fell, Heledd and her ladies went to find Cynddelan's body and brought it to the church of Bassa, a.k.a. Bass Church, where she laid him to rest, lamenting that all her family are now gone.
Do you say Bath Church?
Bass Church, yeah. So that's quite close to Shrewsbury as well, and is in Shropshire. So it's like all these little clues trying to, you know, these historians trying to piece together where Penguin might have been. When Cynthelan died and Penguin was set ablaze, it seems as though all record of the city and kingdom were erased by the Lloegrin invaders. The last line of the poem was also used to help find Penguin's location, with Heledd writing that she watched Penguin Palace burn from a place called Dinlle Vrekon, which overlooked the old kingdom. Now, Dinlle Vrekon is made up of three Welsh words. Din, meaning a fort or city. Lle, a bit more abstract, essentially meaning a place or a location. And Vrekon is actually a place name in itself. All in all, this meant essentially the place for the city of Vrekon. This sparked the search for somewhere in Shropshire that would fit with this nomenclature. And the history boffins initially thought that this line of the poem was referencing an ancient Roman fort called Viriconium, aka modern day Wroxeter. Unfortunately, this fort was abandoned at the latest by 550 AD, about 100 years before the events described in the Battle of Lichfield. But there was another place that fit the description, a large hill fort in East Shropshire called the Wrekin, or the Wrekin, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. This was thought to have been a capital of the Cornavi tribe in Celtic times. So if the palace that housed Llys Cynthelan, or Cynthelan's Hall, was situated here, it would have been an easily defensible hill, had a surrounding view of the land, and been in marching distance of the River Tern, Lichfield and Bass Church, which is why plenty of historians think it might be this spot. So they think that this Wrekin, this Iron Age hill fort in Wrekin or Wrekin, they reckon that's where Cynthelan's palace, the palace of Penguin, was. Again, to sum up, we think Penguin was very likely located on the Wrekin Mountain or Wrekin Mountain. We know that Cynthelan allied with Mercia in 642 and became enemies with them again in 645. And we know that not long after this, Cynthelan was killed defending a raid from the Lloegrin, after which Penguin was destroyed and records of its existence seem to have been destroyed along with it. A poem commemorating Cynthelan was written shortly after, with another remembering the city slash kingdom in the 9th century, until Gerald of Wales brings up Penguin again, stating it was in Shrewsbury and that it was the capital of Powys. So, who exactly destroyed Penguin and why? And was Penguin actually a sub-kingdom of Powys? It would make sense that the Lloegrin, as they referred to, were from Mercia, considering where Cynthelan was killed on the map. But many historians actually suggest it was the Northumbrians that killed Cynthelan and his brothers and had his city burnt down. Northumbria had actually annexed northern Mercia in 655, and a historian named Peter Barsham suggested that the raid on Lichfield, led by Cynthelan, was done while King Oswy of Northumbria controlled the land. Cynthelan was also responsible for the previous Northumbrian king's death at the Battle of Maes Cogwin in 641. The previous king, King Oswald, was also King Oswy's brother, giving the Northumbrian ruler a personal vendetta against the Welsh king. This would explain the severity of attack on the kingdom of Penguin. Kind of a bit like history repeating itself, in that Cynthelan had allied with Mercia previously against the Northumbrians because they'd killed his brother at the Battle of Chester. It's almost like poetry. It rhymes a little bit, you know. Does that make sense, by the way?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, all right, cool. Are you just watching the football?
No, not
registering.
No, you've done good summing up in this, like, dude, because it is quite a lot of info all in one go, but you've broken into three digestible parts.
Thank you very much. There's one more summation to come once towards the end as well, so hopefully it makes sense.
But I assume this is pretty much near the end now. It's
not far, yeah, not far off.
Been fucked up.
Yeah. So as far as if Penguin was a sub-kingdom of Powys, neither poems actually say it's part of Powys. The only mention of this is Gerald of Wales stating that it was the capital of Powys in his works. Some say that Gerald was just using some poetic license. Others say it's possible the borders of Powys were originally a lot more easterly than what we consider them to be, placing Penguin as a simple city and hill fort of Powys. But on the other side of the argument, the oldest known kings of Powys always placed themselves in northern Powys as a rule. That's where they sort of were situated, and they're sort of head of power. And there's not one king before or after the two poems that mention a king controlling the area of Penguin, or where we think Penguin was. Another fact that contradicts Penguin being a part of Paris is the fact that several old poems, including Canny Heledd, refer to an old king of Paris called Brochwell. They talk about how he resided mainly in what is now modern Montgomeryshire. Historians posited that if Penguin was a part of Paris, why do poems like Canny Heledd refer to lands outside of Shropshire as Paris and not their own? So Cynddelan also doesn't pop up in any of the genealogies of the dynasty of Paris. This is something that court bards were charged with keeping up to date. So this isn't something the Anglo-Saxons could have gotten hold of and destroyed completely. You know, they couldn't have marched into Wales and got rid of every single record. Yeah. It's suggested that when the Romans were in charge, the area we think might be Penguin was the civitas of the region. So a civitas was a Roman city that acted as like a centre of government for the surrounding lands. And then once the Romans left, it was theorized that maybe two kingdoms sprouted up in the area. Penguin would be those that reclaimed the land around the old civitas. And the other lands, further afield, began to govern themselves separately, eventually establishing their own political capital to the north. This also matches up in terms of etymology, as the Kingdom of Paris is said to have gotten its name from the Roman Pagus, which means rural lands, and is what the area of Wales would have been called.
I was going to say we should probably look into where all the names come from, all these places. Mm.
I thought this was interesting. So they think that maybe it comes from Pagus, which is what the Romans called the lands further afield, or the rural lands away from the civitas. Mm. So they think that's what happened, is these two kingdoms kind of sprouted up. One that was centered around their old civitas, and then the further afield lands, the Pagus, became Paris, and they established their own sort of seat of power. This would also explain why Cynddelan doesn't come up in the line of kings of Paris. There's also another bit of evidence, the eulogy of a 6th century king of Paris called King Cynan. He mentions in his like sort of eulogy how he claimed victory against almost all his neighbouring kingdoms, including Gwent, Gwynedd, Dyfed, Morgannwg, and very curiously, Cernyw, aka Cornwall. Now, Cornwall being on this list is a bit of an anomaly, as Cornwall is hundreds of miles away from where King Cynan was. Yeah, and it also would require Cynan to have marched an army through several enemy territories just to get there. Yeah. So another historian called Charles Edwards, he actually suggests that this list has been mistranslated and that King Cynan was actually saying he bested Cornyw, not Cernyw. Cornyw would have been the old Welsh term for the descendants of the Cornovi Celts. The same Celts that lived exactly where we think Penguin was situated. So that would make more sense that he was attacking everyone on his borders rather than everyone on his borders and then marched all the way down to Cornwall.
Yeah,
exactly. And finally, I've arrived at the last summary that I'll put you through for today. I'll try my best to speed run all the info I've just dumped on you. So, before the Roman invasion of Britain in 43 AD... a Celtic tribe known as the Cornovi lived in an area centred around modern-day Shropshire, their tribal capital likely being on top of a hill now known as the Wrekin or the Wrekin. Shortly after the Romans conquered the region, this tribal centre was abandoned and the invading force created their civitas for the region, named Viriconium. Once the Romans left Britain in 410 AD, the native Celts and Romano-Celts would continue to use the civitas of Viriconium as the seat of power for the area, but the furthest lands, known as the Pagus, broke away on their own, eventually leading to two separate powers in the region. The kingdom that would become Paris in the north and west, and the remaining citizens of Viriconium in the east. By the year 550, Viriconium was abandoned, and the seat of power moved back to the old Cornovi hill fort, which was renamed Penguin, and eventually came to be led around the year 641 by King Cynddelan ap Cynddroin. We can determine from King Cynan of Paris's eulogy that these two kingdoms fought at least once, but that also fought together to defend the city of Chester against the Northumbrians. Cynddelan's brother was killed at this battle. King Cynddelan fought against the Northumbrians again, this time with King Penda of Mercia, where they slayed the Northumbrian king at the Battle of Maes Cogwy.
Do you think it's funny? However, sorry to jump in.
Go on.
Like, you know, we still have those names in Wales. Like, we have Cynans and we have Owains and we have things like that. You know, and these are like nearly 1500 years old. But then you don't get the names that you do in Mercia in all those ones. You know, like, you don't hear, like...
I suppose they got stamped out by the Normans a bit, yeah, I imagine. Yeah, it? It kind of got bred out.
Yeah.
Whereas that's... ours, we've almost got, like, a fairly direct line, haven't we, with a Canaan and a...
So we'd have some Godwin sons if the Normans didn't come along. We'd have some Uhtreds.
Some sons of Pedes, and we would call them pedos in the playground. Yeah,
but I think that's quite cool that you know, Canaan to me still feels like quite a modern name, because I only met my first Canaan when I was in like secondary school, but it's like a 1600 you know, 1800 year old name.
Yeah, I mean, Cynddylan, fair enough. I haven't heard that one before.
But Cynddylan, yeah. Dylan, and you've heard Cynddylan.
Yeah, Dylan. So, and we said on the like the Welsh gods one, you know, like Gwydion. I've heard Gwydion in modern day,
and that's like something like Gwydion, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a, you know, that's a Welsh god that goes back from, you know,
BC
almost.
He was a Welsh god.
He was a god of a man.
Yeah. I think me and you both enjoy etymology, don't we? Because it's like a direct historical link.
I like seeing the steps
the
language takes to get somewhere.
Yeah, we should definitely do an episode based on why things are called Deheubarth. Why they're probably named after people, aren't they? But I'd like knowing about Powys being from being Paganus or whatever.
It's only a theory. Like I said, there might be another reason for it. Because at first, it's like, that's a bit of a shame it's named after.
That's what people who don't believe in the theory of evolution say. They always go, it's only
just
a theory,
isn't it? It's like a global warming, mate. It's just a theory, isn't it?
Just a theory, mate.
It's freezing today, so shove your global warming up your ass, isn't it? So, King Cynddylan, he fought against the Northumbrians once again, this time with King Penda of Mercia, where they slayed the Northumbrian king at the battle.
Whoa, get in! Sorry!
I assumed it was about they killed the Northumbrian king. Come on! Come on, boys!
Oh, you bastard gun and fucking offside!
Unlucky, man. Unlucky.
I've just got a fucking Carlin. I just stood up to get Carlin. How is that offside, you little prick? It's not. It's fucking on!
Now, if anyone thought you weren't being truthful about your love of Welsh football, this is the episode to listen to prove it.
Well, this is quite quiet. I mean, if we'd done the stadium, I'd be fucking cock out right now.
Cock out for the lads.
Yeah. I bet you people who know about Welsh football will be really surprised that I'm not down there, considering the magnitude of the game. But I just trust me. I just can't.
Seriously, bro.
I'm in London tomorrow until Friday. And I mean, fucking, I'm just busy. Sorry, sorry, let me just shut up a second.
Sorry, man. So yeah, where was I? The King Penda of Mercia and King Cynddylan of Penguin, they killed the Northumbrian king in Maescogwy, Battle of Maescogwy. However, this would be a really short-lived victory as the Northumbrians would push southward, annexing much of northern Mercia. Around 656 AD, Cynddylan launched an attack at the monastery of Lichfield alongside his son Morvail, defeating the king of Mercia's son. This Mercian king, King Peder, or King Pede in Welsh, was killed a year later with the nearby Northumbrians taking his land and pushing further south again. King Oswald of Northumbria, brother of the previous ruler, now controlled the land neighbouring Cynddylan's kingdom of Penguin. Fueled by a personal vendetta, Oswald, whose brother met his end at the hands of Cynddylan and Penda at the Battle of Maescogwy, drew out King Cynddylan by attacking a town on the River Tern. There, Oswald and his men killed Cynddylan and his brothers before marching into Llys Penguin, the capital city upon the hill, and burned it to the ground, wiping out the entire royal family and the records of its existence. The Northumbrians and Mercians would battle for control of what was Penguin, as well as a large chunk of Powys, for over a century after this. Cynddylan was buried in Bass Church, and an elegy was written of him in the form of a poem commemorating his deeds.
So it's not Bath Abbey?
No, Bass Church, which is in it's in Shropshire. It's not too far from...
So not B-A-T-H?
No, Bass, as in like a fucking fish, is it?
Yeah.
Bass Church. It was called. It was just called the Church of Bass originally, and then it became a town called Bass Church. Eventually the Anglo-Saxons would be pushed out of Wales when King Eliseg of Powys reclaimed his lands, after which a huge ditch was created between Powys and Mercia to denote the boundaries between the lands, known as Offa's Dyke, or Clawdd Offa in Welsh. And with what little evidence we have, that is what perhaps was the lost kingdom of Penguin. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that's the story of, oh my friggin' god. So that was basically the, I couldn't friggin' believe a penguin was over there in Shropshire. But that was, yeah, the potentially where the lost kingdom of Penguin was. There was also little bits and bobs. I would suggest watching the Cambrian Chronicles video on this on YouTube, because they got a little bit of extra tidbits that I didn't want to bore people with and go into, but they are interesting about how Cynddelan might have been like a usurper to the Powysian throne. I don't know if that's how you would say what something from Powys was, but... yeah, that's it. That's the lot, basically. That's the
lovely
secret
stuff.
Kingdom of Powys. Of, sorry, Penguin, not Powys.
We should go up to Shrewsbury for a bit of a booze up, because it's fun up there, isn't it?
It is good up there, yeah. It's they got a few nice pubs. I remember
it's a great
work,
pubs town, mate.
When we went there, the place we stayed, it was called, like they said the place was haunted. And because it's so old, when you're walking through the corridors, they're like on an angle because they've all like subsided and shit. But it did give it a nice like old rustic feel to it.
Yeah. I just Googled it now and it's a bit further north, but it's kind of directly above where Hereford is, and it's like the nearest town from Hereford, like along the border. So they're really similar in like design, in history, like Welsh border towns, you know, fight crossing over. And Hereford is a fucking great pub town. It's not a city, it's a town, isn't it? But that's a really fun place to go for booze. I think we should.
Yeah, I've heard pubs up there, class. I definitely want to go there.
Yeah, I wanted to do more day trips out for pints and stuff.
Definitely. These old school pubs, I love all that shit.
Yeah. All right, should we wrap that up and say, drop us some stars, tell your mates, tell your mothers, tell your fathers, tell your uncles, tell your mothers, your brothers, sisters, all that stuff. And yeah, whatever you love a lot.
Diolch o, ta-ra, ta-ra.